from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia. Online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, delegates vote overwhelmingly to drug test some welfare recipients. In the Senate, a bill to require voters to show some form of identification at a polling place resurfaces in a committee in time for a Friday vote. And House Speaker Tim Armstead joins us to discuss the pressing budgetary issues facing the state and how his chamber plans to deal with them. Those stories and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. We start with news from the executive tonight as Governor Tomlin announces he's vetoed Senate Bill 10. The bill bans certain types of second trimester abortions in the state. In his veto message, Tomlin said the bill places an undue burden on the constitutional right of a woman to privacy. While dozens of bills still await a vote in this legislative session, when the gavel falls at midnight Saturday, there will be only one left to discuss. The 2017 budget. The finance committees in both chambers have approved their versions of the bill, and the Senate will vote as a whole tomorrow. But it will look very different from the House's version of the budget. The Senate's includes a $1 increase in the tobacco tax and some $350 million in additional money for roads from a fee and tax increase. The House, however, didn't approve those revenue increasing measures. In an interview this morning, House Speaker Tim Armstead said his chamber still has a reasonable budget before them. So, Mr. Speaker, I want to start first by saying thank you very much for giving us your time this morning. We really appreciate having you.
It's great to have the opportunity to talk with you.
I want to start with the budget because that seems to be the biggest issue as we head into these last couple days of the session. The House Finance Committee passed out the House version of the budget yesterday, I believe.
Yes.
That budget fully funds PEIA,
yes,
which has been a major issue in the House this session. What else does that budget do? What does it look like?
Well, first of all, let me say, and I'm glad you mentioned that it fully funds PEIA, because throughout the session, that's what we've said. There's been this outcry, where's the bill, where's this or that. We've said all along that the bill that funds PEIA is the state budget, and that's where we've been from day one, and now we've been able to balance our budget. And let me step back and say, at the beginning, we said there were basically four sources to balance our budget. One of the, you know, obviously the governor had proposed some tax increases, but there's also cuts to spending. There are sweeps or moving funding that's excess surplus funding from different accounts. And then there's the rainy day fund, which is actually the revenue shortfall fund, which is where we are, a revenue shortfall. So we've said all along that this budget is a factor, those four working pieces, if you might. And what this budget does is it does make some cuts. It makes some sweeps, some transfers of money from some of these funds where an account may have excess funding that was left over from previous years. It was never taken from that account. And then the revenue shortfall fund is there basically for what we're facing now. I mean, that's the main goal for it. Now, we don't want to try to live out of that. We don't want to do this on a long-term basis. But let's look back 2 years ago when we were not facing over a $400 million deficit. The legislature, that was before we were in a majority, but the legislature took $100 million out of that fund to balance the budget 2 years ago. This budget takes a little over $31 million and balances it without any tax increases. So I'm very proud of the work that the Finance Committee, that the legislature as a whole has done on this bill. Not everyone's going to like everything about it. There's obviously the opportunity to amend it. There are obviously a number of steps we still have to get through. But I think this budget is responsible. I think the people of West Virginia have said that they are struggling under the same constraints that state government is. And I don't believe that the people of West Virginia can handle tax increases right now. I just think that they're struggling to make ends meet. They're trying to balance their budgets, and they expect us to tighten our belt just as they are. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think it was maybe a couple weeks ago you came down from the podium to talk about the budget and talk about the PEIA piece from your desk on the floor, which we should say that doesn't always happen. That's not a very common thing for the speaker to come down from the podium and to address the members of the chamber. But during that speech, you pointed to a report that came from both the Senate and the House Finance Chairman that asked agencies if we needed to cut further, what would those cuts look like?
Right.
Can you tell me about what was in that report, and is that reflected in the House version of the budget?
Well, some of it is, but I think that there were, certainly when you talk about a 6% cut, then the agencies, some agencies are gonna be more adversely affected by such a cut than others. So there were some who said, you know, came up with some very reasonable, we will just not do this program this year, we'll maybe do it next year, we will shift money from this to that, we may do a little less of something that they do. There were other agencies who came back and said these cuts will be very substantial, and we did not go into any of those really substantial, you know, cuts that would cut key services that that government provides for our citizens. But what we did look at is, again, the first thing we did is there were a lot of special revenue accounts where money goes to these accounts from a particular source, and it's not necessarily appropriated every year by the legislature as we're going to choose this amount to put into this particular agency. It just goes, whatever that fee or tax or whatever is, all goes into that agency. So in some cases, we had some surpluses in those areas where that had really accumulated over the year, and it's never taken, you know, I won't say never, but it routinely is not taken from those accounts and put into the budget. But we did some of that this year. So, you know, we're still working through some of those. We're still looking at some additional possibilities there. But what we did is we worked with the agencies and we tried to say, what would this particular cut or this particular sweep do to your agency? And try to make sure that we're not doing anything that harms public education or public safety or the safety net for our citizens or health care, those types of things that we recognize that cuts in those areas or substantial cuts in those areas would have an adverse effect on citizens. So I think we've done a very responsible job in trying to locate those areas where, as people know, when you're talking about a $4 billion general revenue budget, there are obviously going to be some areas where we can make some cuts and we can make some shifts, and so that's what we've done.
Well, the Senate did approve two revenue increasing measures that they sent across the chamber to you, one to increase the tobacco tax, another to increase some DMV fees and a tax on the purchase of vehicles, for example, some other taxes. I know you said that you think the people of West Virginia are still looking to state government to tighten their belts, but polls have come out and said that both of those increases, the increases to those DMV fees, the tobacco tax increase, are increases that West Virginians overwhelmingly support, that they're willing to take. Why not consider those measures?
Well, let me say, first of all, as to the tobacco tax, we did consider that measure. It was placed on the agenda. The governor's bill was placed on the agenda in the House Finance Committee, the 45-cent tobacco tax. And I think it got 4 votes out of 25. So, and it got no votes from the governor's own party, the Democrats. No Democrat voted for that. And so the ones who did vote were the Republican members who felt that we should increase that tax. So I think that when you say we didn't consider them, we did consider them. We put them through the process, and they didn't have the support from either side of the aisle. So, and I think that's important to note. I mean, the governor has proposed these, and I'm in my time here, in my 18 years here, I've never seen a sort of a hallmark piece of a governor's agenda be soundly rejected entirely by his own party. And so I think that there was not much groundwork that was taken to get support for that. As I said, you know, all 9 members of the House Finance Committee that are Democrat members voted against that. So we did put that out there. It didn't have the support. So we have to move on and fill these budget holes. As far as the DMV fees, I know that there are some polling about that citizens may be willing to pay a little more, but these DMV fees that we were talking about, in some cases, were tripling what people were paying. And I think when that was presented to the legislature, there was not a lot of support on either side of the aisle for those either, because I think they recall that the governor had vetoed similar measures in the past that they passed, and I just think these were in some cases even more drastic than those that were vetoed by the governor. So I don't think the people of West Virginia, yes, I think they're willing to maybe pay some more for roads, but I think there are some other solutions that we can try to do first and make sure we're spending our money more efficiently first before we put more money into it. But I do think those DMV fees were again, in some cases, tripling what they are now. And I really think when the people of West Virginia see those, I don't think there's quite the support that some might think for that, because, again, they're trying to tighten their belt and they're trying to make ends meet and, you know, send their kids to college and buy homes and different things that they do that they use our hard-earned money for. And to just say that, you know, when we have a budget shortfall here that we are just going to go ahead and turn around and charge them more, I just don't think that's where the people of West Virginia want us to go. If we get to the point at some point where we've done all that we can do in terms of cuts without harming anyone, that we've done all that we can do in terms of these sweeps, and we've already used responsibly the amount of money that we can responsibly use out of our savings account, the revenue short fund, then I think people will be more open to those. But at this point, I think they wanted us to take those steps first, and that's what we're trying to do this year.
So we should be clear that we've been talking about the House version of the budget. The Senate version looks a little bit different, and you all will meet next week to negotiate a final version that both chambers will have to approve.
Right.
The governor has said he will extend the session, as he typically does, for the budget for 3 days. That puts us to Wednesday. And if the chambers aren't close, he says he would rather send you all home and bring you back at a later time to finish the budget. Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, I think, first of all, what we need to do is really put all of our effort and time into trying to resolve this quickly. I would rather not go into an extended session. I think that while we do have different budgets, I mean, that's always the case. The House and the Senate budgets are always different. We'll have to see and kind of see how quickly that process goes. We are in somewhat uncharted territory this year because of the over $400 million deficit that we started with. So, and because the Senate has passed certain revenue measures that were not passed in the House. We've already been having those discussions. And the Senate has known exactly what we were planning to do. We've known what they've done. So I think we may be closer than people think to getting to a resolution of that. I'm not going to make any promises there, because I think as you get into the details, we'll have some things to work out. But I do think it's closer than people might think. Now, whether we'll be able to do it in 3 days or not, we'll have to see. But once we go through those 3 days, I think the governor's right. We need to assess where we are at that point and see whether another 3 day. I mean, often, in most of the time that I've been here, it's taken about a week after the regular session to complete the budget. So last year we completed that more quickly. I think it was like 3 or 4 days, I think maybe Thursday of the following week. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to do that this year. But if not, then I think we should work together with the governor and the Senate and see what, you know, how close we are, and see if another 3 day, because the governor usually does extensions in 3 day segments. So we would certainly talk with him and see whether another 3 days would be helpful. But we're going to really go to work on this. I mean, we're already going to work on it. The Senate and the House have not passed their budgets in a vacuum. We've been talking. We've been talking with the Senate Finance Chair and the Senate President, and have had a great working relationship with them. So I anticipate that we're far along on that process already.
So aside from the budget, there are probably dozens of other bills out there that still need to be voted on before Saturday. Those have to be approved by Saturday at midnight. Are there any bills floating around that, either on the House side or on the Senate side, that are really important to you, that you think should really be important to get passed by Saturday night?
Well, I think that there are a number of areas, and we've been talking with the Senate and had some conversations with the Senate President this morning. Some of those are, we had a very, I think, productive agenda of ethics legislation that we passed through the House that we're hoping the Senate will pass over here on the Senate side. I think that we have done a great deal of work on substance abuse in the House. We had a special select committee that really rolled up his sleeves to help try to solve the substance abuse problem in our state. And we've passed a number of pieces of legislation. They're still working through the process on substance abuse. Those are two broader areas that I think are extremely important. But again, going back to the whole idea of making sure that we have some regulatory reforms, we have some legal reforms, things that we need to do to put people back to work. And we've done, with the Workplace Freedom Bill and the Prevailing Wage Bill and a number of other pieces of legislation, some other legal reforms we've already passed, I think we've really put our state on course to create jobs in our state. But we have a lot more to do, and there are a number of pieces of legislation still working through the process that I hope are successful this year.
A busy couple of days ahead.
Absolutely. And also some education reforms that are still working through. So there is a lot left to do. The last 3 or 4 days of the session is always incredibly active and busy, and a lot of things happen in those. So we have a lot of things still moving through the process.
House Speaker Tim Armstead, thank you so much for your time.
Great to be with you.
A bill that would reduce the state's severance tax on coal and natural gas from 5% to 3% has been postponed in the House. Rob Engel spoke with the chair of the House Finance Committee about the decision.
Ashton, Senate Bill 705 was taken off the table for lawmakers this session during the Finance Committee meeting this morning and instead turned into an interim study measure that would give the legislature time to study the effects of the tax cut in detail during the months between the legislative sessions. The bill passed quickly through the Senate, but with some debate. Some senators argued the proposed 2% cut over 2 years would help aid struggling industries, while others said the bill would simply mean government-funded services in coal-producing counties would shoulder the cuts. House Finance Chair Eric Nelson said lawmakers need more time to consider a bill that would decrease state revenue, especially in a tight fiscal year.
These taxes, according to that bill, would not have been dropped until fiscal year 18, so it would have been July 2017. What a study does is it puts much greater emphasis on addressing, potentially reducing this tax, helping these industries out, and we can look at that over the next 8 months, and then at the beginning of next session, then we are handling a tax reduction that can potentially help some industries. Instead of hitting this in the last few days of this session, and rushing into something that we'll second guess later.
Lawmakers did approve another measure to cut some taxes for the coal and natural gas industries this session. The bill got rid of a surcharge on the resource that was helping pay off the state's workers' compensation debt. That bill was already signed by Governor Tomlin. For the legislature today, I'm Rob Engel.
Members of the House put a controversial proposal to a vote today, a bill that would drug test applicants of the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. Liz McCormick reports.
Senate Bill 6 has caused a lot of debate in both chambers since it was first proposed, and today the House spent 2 hours debating it on the floor. The bill requires the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources to apply for permission from the federal government to begin a drug screening and testing program. In that program, applicants for Temporary Assistance for Needy Families or TANF benefits could be tested if a caseworker has reasonable suspicion those applicants are using drugs or if they've been convicted of a drug crime in the past 3 years. Applicants are required to enter rehabilitative or workforce training programs after failing drug tests, but after 3 failed tests, they lose their benefits for life. However, if there are children in the home, those children will not lose those benefits at any point during the process. The majority of delegates who spoke on the floor Wednesday were in favor of the bill, including Democrat Tim Manchin.
There is some benefit to this. This is a better bill than what we've heard at times, and there will be some assistance there for treatment. At least the Department of Human Services is going to be paying for the tests. They're going to be paying for treatment if, in fact, it's available. And it could, as my good friend from Logan stated earlier, it could help families and it could help children. And for all those reasons, I will vote yes on this bill, but with a heavy heart.
Harrison County had an article out several months ago, 50% of their kids were born on some illicit drug. If you don't think that's reality, it is. There is a cost to that, more than $22,000 for testing. Yes, it's not just poor people, but the majority of 60% of deliveries in this state are Medicaid. They are on public assistance. Now, I will tell you, I got some good news from my hospital earlier today. There is one little child that is going home tomorrow after a month-long detox. Month-long detox. That's expense. That costs more than what the cost of this program is going to be, even if everyone got tested.
Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to vote green on this bill, and I hope this bill and this program is a complete and total, utter failure. Because if this program fails the way I hope it does, that means there are zero people who DHHR has a reasonable suspicion are under the influence of drugs.
Only four delegates stood to speak against the bill, all Democrats, including Delegate Don Perdue of Wayne County.
Let me talk to you a little bit about TANF recipients. It's been said these are welfare people. That's the broad phrase we like to use. They're welfare people. They're on public assistance, yes. But TANF recipients are either going to school to get a job or they've got a job. That's who they are. You know, they're not the bum you see at Walmart, necessarily. There are bums in all classes of citizens. And by the way, there are people in all classes of citizens who are addicted to drugs. I frankly don't understand why we aren't drug testing Promise Scholars. It's a class. What's the difference?
After 2 hours, Senate Bill 6 passed overwhelmingly 91-8. It did see some changes in the House Judiciary Committee, so the bill will first go to the Senate before heading to the governor for a possible signature. For the legislature today, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
A bill to repeal the state's Common Core education standards will receive a vote in the Senate tomorrow. The bill has already been approved by the House, but has seen some changes in the upper chamber. House Bill 4014 still requires a repeal of Common Core-based education standards, but in West Virginia, those standards were repealed by the State Board of Education in December and replaced with the West Virginia College and Career Ready standards. So the bill adds a process through which a commission made up of West Virginia teachers, principals, and professors will review the new standards and recommend changes to the state board. The commission will be appointed by the Senate President and House Speaker and overseen by the Chancellor of the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission. In the House, the bill also blocked the implementation of new science standards set to take effect in July. The Senate Education version of the bill keeps those standards in place but makes them subject to the review of the commission. The bill no longer includes a provision to allow students to opt out or refuse to take a standardized test. The full Senate will put the bill to a vote tomorrow, but senators will also be able to offer further amendments before the final tally. And a Senate committee has also advanced a bill to require voters to show some form of identification before casting their ballots at a polling place. But members of the Senate Judiciary Committee also made amendments to the House bill before approving it last night. The biggest change, according to the Senate Judiciary Chair, is the expansion of the list of items a voter can bring with them to verify their identification. Senators added voter registration cards, a state medical card, a utility bill, and even a pay stub to the list. It already included things like state or federal government-issued photo IDs, high school or college IDs, and passports. The bill was read a first time on the Senate floor today and will be up for amendments by the full body tomorrow. We meet three more members of the West Virginia Legislature tonight in this edition of Meet Your Lawmakers.
Tom Takubo was elected to the West Virginia Senate in 2014. A Republican, he's from Kanawha County and represents the 17th Senatorial District. Senator Takubo serves as the chair of the Senate Committee on Economic Development and the vice chair of the Senate Health and Human Resources Committee. Outside of the Capitol, he works as a pulmonary surgeon. Paul Espinoza is a Republican from Jefferson County. He was elected to the House in 2012. Delegate Espinoza represents the 66th House District. He's the chair of the Chamber's Education Committee. Stephen Skinner represents West Virginia's 67th House of Delegates District. A Democrat, he's from Jefferson County. Delegate Skinner was elected to the House in 2012. He serves as the minority chair of the House Insurance Committee and the House Committee on Small Business and Economic Development. He also serves as the minority vice chair of the House Judiciary Committee.
This has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.